If my love were an ocean, there would be no more land. If my love were a desert, you would see only sand. If my love were a star, late at night only light. And if my love could grow wings, I'd be soaring in flight. Jay Asher, 13 Reasons Why. I have never been that girl who was boy crazy. I told my friends in second grade that I was never going to get married. Ew, never. I was pretty headstrong from the get-go. My only idea of love was the love I saw my dad give to my mom, which was not love. I'm glad that I could see that from a really young age. And boys just never really interested me as a kid. I mean, of course, I had little crushes here and there. My big crushes were mainly those of, you know, like pretty big status. The Jonas Brothers had multiple posters on my bedroom wall. Joe Jonas. He was my Joe Bro of choice. One Direction. Chad Michael Murray from A Cinderella Story was the background of my phone for a long time. Matthew Gray Gubler from Criminal Minds. I actually changed my Facebook status to in a relationship with Matthew Gray Gubler. What a man. Brendan Urie, of course. Eric Dane from Grey's Anatomy. We love some McSteamy, always. Ed Sheeran, then now, you know, since Pitch Perfect came out, Ben Platt has been in that number one top tier of love of my life. I was actually convinced that somehow or another, Ben Platt and I would get married one day. But let's not talk about that heartbreak right now. So boys were always around, you could say. I went to a dance school when I was younger. Had a big crush on a fellow dancer there. I even had a third grade boyfriend named Kevin. We barely even talked. It was more of a thing just to be able to say, oh yeah, I have a boyfriend. One of those that you don't even count, seeing as there's nothing to really constitute a relationship. My friends and I, we used to throw these fake weddings on the playground. So like, if a girl and a guy in my class made it to the point that they were official, they'd announce to everyone that they were engaged, and we would throw them an actual ceremony at recess. One of my friends would marry a boy. She picked her bridesmaids. There was a first dance. We would all dress up for school that day. We went all out on these weddings. I never married anyone. I was always the bridesmaid, but I was okay with that. The thing is, though, I was just never really interested in boys. There has never been a time that I thought, oh, I have to have a boy in my life. Honestly, I was terrified of boys for a good chunk of my childhood. We know that this makes sense now, but at the time it didn't. I was scared of every male subject that crossed my path. Every single one of them. Even my other family members. I made the mistake of looking at every one of them as if they were my dad. And I really didn't come online to the world of boys until, like, eighth grade, We remember from the last episode that I wasn't exactly the kid that turned heads when I walked into the room. I felt invisible. I felt like I shouldn't be seen. But then a boy showed interest in me. He'd probably be okay with me using his real name, but to play it safe, let's call this boy Jake. Why not? Jake sounds good. Okay, Jake. Jake and I were into pretty much all of the same things. The big underlying connection between us was theater. He was and still is so extremely talented. He is such a talented human being. As an actor, as a singer, as an artist, as a performer in general, Jake wasn't your go-to straight male of the theater, you know, that all of the girls fall head over heels for. He was dorky. Dorky in a cute way, like reads a lot of Harry Potter and dances by himself in the shower dorky. Let's keep in mind, though, how I was. He was authentic. He was never afraid to be himself, even if it meant he didn't blend in with the rest of the kids. On a surface level, it seemed like Jake didn't have any problem connecting with people, and I wanted to learn how to do that. Jake had this big curly hair and tons of freckles, braces. He was short and bubbly and outgoing. Jake just had this sense of life about him that I loved. He was kind and loving to everyone, including me. Eighth grade Taylor, she loved that shit. Jake was the first person I can remember, and the first boy, for sure, that never looked at me like I needed to be someone else, so I was quiet. He didn't mind. He didn't care that I wore khakis up to my collarbone or had huge gap teeth or played with Barbies after school still. Jake accepted me for me. Plus, he sang show tunes. What more could I have wanted out of a love interest? I have this distinct memory of sitting on the stage with Jake one day. I think our freshman year, we were sitting on the stage while someone was playing the soundtrack to Wicked over the speakers in the auditorium. We were painting set pieces or gluing props or something. We were doing something tech savvy together for whatever show we were in at the time. He was singing the song word for word. It was probably popular or Defying Gravity, given that it's Wicked. Actually, it may have been One Short Day. You know what? The song doesn't matter. It was Wicked. He was singing. And I stopped singing and just looked at him. It was the first time I had ever felt butterflies. Like the kind of butterflies that make you smile uncontrollably, which I did, very widely. I gave him the old razzle-dazzle, gap-tooth smile. Then he noticed I was staring and kind of laughed, but just kept on singing. To this day, I still haven't told Jake how I had felt about him. If, by chance, he's listening, though, he knows now. There's no way that anyone can listen to me talk about Jake and not know exactly who I'm talking about. Surprise, surprise. And of course, I had all of middle school and my 3 years at that high school to tell Jake, but I didn't. He was so nice. And at times, I kind of got the feeling that he may have liked me back. At one point, a friend of mine told me that Jake said he had a crush on me. And in the most self-sabotaging way, I rejected Jake without him knowing. It was hard, too. I knew that Jake might like me back, and that was too hard for me to accept. I looked at myself as this damaged, good-for-nothing girl with a broken family and nothing but baggage. Jake was a Christian. I was not. He lived with two loving parents, and mine were divorced and at each other's throats. I felt like if I let him know how much I liked him, that he would like me back. You'd think that's what I wanted, but I was scared to feel anything for him because that opened me up to be hurt or to hurt him in return. And also, going back to last week's episode, subconsciously, I couldn't accept being loved by someone. I couldn't let him in like that, so I pushed him out. I pushed him way out. Also, in eighth grade, a new kid moved to our school. He was also into theater, but unlike Jake, he was the straight theater boy that all of the girls fell for. All of them, including me. We'll refer to this boy as Tom. Tom is athletic and flirtatious, very flirtatious. I think he was confused on who he was at the time, like all of us were. So in some instances, he came off as a genuine asshole, and he was a player. The second I decided I couldn't ever be with Jake, I switched it up to Tom. I knew that if I went after Tom, I would never get love reciprocated back to me. I knew that Tom would tell me what I wanted to hear and not mean a word of it. So off I went. How crazy is that? I knew. Of course I knew. But I went after him anyways. I treated Jake like shit for our entire freshman year of high school as I chased Tom instead. I would give Jake the cold shoulder and roll my eyes at his jokes even when I thought they were funny. If I remember correctly, there may have been a big dramatic blowout where I turned around and told him to leave me alone. Yeah, not my proudest moment there. But you want to know how I could tell just how wonderful of a person Jake is? Even when I treated him like that, he was still there for me. He still smiled at me. He still gave me hugs and played our favorite show tunes. But I ignored him for a whole school year almost. My sophomore year, I finally got a bite from Tom. We snuck out of theater class one day to the school's shop room. He told me that he thought I was hot. Maybe even one of the hottest girls in school. Part of me knew that he didn't mean it, which made me want him even more. He would be perfect to prove my theory that no one really loved me. I would be able to say, see, told you so. I knew that for the 5 minutes our interactions lasted, I would feel amazing with no attachment to him and then go right back to feeling bad again afterwards. I thought that this was avoiding an attachment to him. Keyword, thought. Soon, I started wanting him to love me. And even though I knew everything he said was a lie, I convinced myself that he meant it. That it was different with me. I was different from all of the other girls because he told me I was. He had to mean it, right? Right? He didn't mean it. I started to ignore all of his red flags. I didn't care about all of the other girls before who he treated badly or his asshole personality. He became godlike status to me. Everything he did was perfect. And meanwhile, there I was, avoiding Jake, the sweetest guy on the entire planet, who treated me fairly with every interaction. I kept being a bitch to him because he was nice to me. How can you like this monster of a person that I am? There's obviously something wrong with you. There wasn't a thing wrong with him. It was all me. I confessed my feelings to Tom, told him that even though we agreed not to, I had caught feelings for him. Tom told me that he had to stop talking to me. He couldn't be associated with me anymore. Not because I had feelings for him, but because he had strong, teenage boy, horny and confusing feelings for me. He blamed his sexual urges on me and said it was my fault that he couldn't move his relationship closer to Christ. And I got in the way. I was crushed and angry and confused. I had it in my head that I was capable of changing someone, and that's just not the case. All of these years later, there's no hard feelings between Tom and I anymore. We were just kids, you know? We were all confused and raging with these weird hormones. I have a much better understanding of him and myself now. But I held on to a lot of resentment towards him for a few years. It felt so earth-shattering at the time, but now it seems so distant and small. It's the beauty of time, I guess. After a while, everything that seemed so dire now seems so far away, like another world. After this falling out with Tom, you'll never guess who was still there, waiting with arms open, ready to show me love and forgiveness, and Jake. I accidentally just said his real name, so now I have to edit that out. Oops. Jake and I are still friends, even though we are miles away from each other. We never reached that romantic stage, which I think I'm actually thankful for. In a time where guys were scary to me, he wasn't. And he wasn't blowing up my Snapchat for nudes either. Having him as a friend and someone to lean on meant the world to me. I didn't deserve an ounce of his forgiveness. I want to have him on here and tell him all of this because he doesn't know. At least, I think he doesn't. I don't really know how much he gathered about anything, so it would be, I don't know, really cool and nerve-wracking to get to tell him face to face. We'll see. Like I said, if he's listening to this, he knows now. The boys that came after Jake and Tom were just acquaintances. Flings on Snapchat, casual flirting between classes, nothing too serious. I had a small fling with a guy from Colorado while I still lived in Texas. We only interacted through, you know, text and phone calls. I drove all the way there to meet him for the first time in person, only for him to drop me a day later. He claimed it was because I was fat. So that felt really good. My brother and I had this smoking / drug buddy we used to go hang out with all the time. He was intense. This guy was on probation and had an extensive list of his past violations. Battery, theft, drug charges. His apartment reeked of who knows what kind of drugs. I used to ditch school early just to go sit in that apartment with him and my brother. He became sexual in ways that he shouldn't have been, showing us videos of him having sex with his girlfriend, taking his clothes off, getting too close for comfort, coming onto me, coming onto my brother, giving my brother unidentified drugs, as in shoving a needle into his arm without his consent, without telling him what it was. We quickly started to figure out that we had become involved in a scene we didn't want to be a part of anymore. There was an altercation between him and I where he attempted to force me into things I didn't want to do, despite having a girlfriend. He said that if he found out that I told his girlfriend, or if I told anyone, he would hunt me down and he would kill me. This shut me off for a long time when it came to anything relationship-wise. Don't touch me. Don't look at me. Don't flirt with me. Don't talk to me. Don't come near me. I became love avoidant after that. I shut it all down. I knew I should have reported him, but decided not to after convincing myself that it wasn't that bad. I really thought that I blew it up in my head. My brother and I found out a few months ago that this boy went on to beat his pregnant girlfriend to death, the same girl from the videos, killing her and their unborn baby. I can't help but think, had I said something to anyone, it could have been avoided. At this point in my timeline of boy world, I made the decision that I was not going to be with anyone anymore, ever again. The wall that I built up around me was trillions of stories high, with like barbed wire wrapped around the top and snipers making sure no one got in. A pretty elaborate wall built up around me, for sure. No one was going to get through. I made a plan for the rest of my life. I would graduate high school, since I had already dropped out 3 times already. I would get some high-end job where I could sit in an office with a view all day, become my own CEO, my own girl boss. I had it all figured out. I wouldn't need a guy, even for having children. When I reached the age of 25, I'd either get a sperm donor or adopt a kid. I made it so that I would never have to have a guy for the rest of my life. I would be taken care of by myself. I deleted Tinder. I shut myself off to all forms of flirting. It was never going to happen for me because I wasn't going to allow myself to be hurt again. These plans we make for our lives. I'll just say, for me, specifically, they never go as planned. For my senior year of high school, I had moved to Colorado with, you know, the same mindset, same tower of protection around me, the same plan. And then everything under the sun changed for me once I met this boy. For, of course, safety and legal reasons, I have to change his name, so we'll call him Collins. This is going to be really hard for me to get through talking about this. We can do this. I had known Collins. He was so funny. He had these beautiful eyes that always seemed to just stare into my soul when I talked, because he was always interested in what I had to say. He was genuine, kind of like a Jake genuine, but this time I wasn't looking for him to come into my life. He just showed up. He just shoved his way through all of that protective tower surrounding me. Like most of the other boys on here, we connected because of theater. There was a day we came to the school to clean out the theater's prop room in the basement. Whole group of us. He was there because in this theater world, he was known as one of the strong boys who could lift the big props and the set pieces. And if you don't know this already, if you leave a group of theater kids unattended for a long period of time, they're going to slack off just a little bit. So we were joking around and goofing off, and anything that came out of my mouth, Collins laughed at, and vice versa. I remember catching his eye, and we both looked away. And then came the butterflies. I thought to myself, fuck, not these again. Nope, we aren't doing this. We can't do this. Avoid, avoid, avoid. But that didn't go so well. Within the next week, we were partnered up in this big flash mob dance number the theater kids were performing for like a pep rally, we both had to read Our Town for theater class. It was like the more I tried to get away from him, the more I got pushed towards him. We had the same favorite musical. We loved the same type of cars. As much as we had in common, we were equally polar opposites, which came in handy. He was into filmmaking and photography. I've always been a melodramatic person, and he was lighthearted and fun. I needed that more than I knew I did. He taught me to find the light in every situation, even if it was hard. He played football, and I learned how to understand the game just for him. I went to every single game that year to cheer for him. He made my heart flutter in such a gross and cliched sense of things. I started a list in my phone of every single thing I learned about him, from his favorite color to what he wanted to be when he grew up, to his allergies and what mannerisms meant that he was sad or what made him the happiest. I wanted to make sure I would remember. I wanted to remember every moment, every laugh, every low time, and all the in-betweens. I kept thinking to myself, be present. You're gonna want to remember this. And I fell. I fell so hard for this guy, even though I was fighting it. He began to know every single thing about me, and he was sensitive and caring about the things that hurt the most. He never once judged me. He would hold my hand every day, and each time he'd stick it out on the side of his body as like an invitation for me to grab it. I felt like we communicated things to each other that were difficult to talk about with anyone else. And it was all so different. What I liked most about him was how he wasn't perfect. Oh, he was far from it. He had his flaws just like I had mine. And unlike I did with Tom, I looked at Collins as a human with a heartbeat and these intricate thoughts and feelings. He wasn't of godlike status to me. Something else I loved about him and our relationship was that I didn't feel like he was my other half. Collins always felt like an addition, like an expansion pack that brought out the best and brightest parts of me. He made me feel safe. That wasn't a feeling I had very often. It was nice. My first kiss with him felt like everything in the entire world just slowed down. And it was just the two of us there. Like, nothing mattered except being there. I remember journaling that night and I had written, if he doesn't end up being the one, this is going to hurt really badly. I knew. I knew how hard I was falling for him, and not in a way that I had ever fallen before. Not like, I need to be this person for him to like me. I need to do this. I need to be that. I didn't have to do anything. And he told me that. I didn't have to do anything but love him. He didn't want me to be anyone. He didn't make me feel like there was anyone I had to be but myself. And he loved me despite. He loved me despite having a drug problem. He loved me despite the issues with my family because he had plenty of his own. He loved me despite not being a Christian because he wasn't either. He loved me no substitution. I didn't feel the obsessive nature that I did with Tom. I didn't feel like I should be someone different like I did with Jake. I was 100% me, and that was fine with him. And not only that, his family was the best. They showed me love and support when they barely knew me. They threw me a surprise birthday party that year because I was sad to be alone. They helped me furnish my apartment up there They got me resources to help with finances and food. They gave me their heart just because they wanted to, and because that's the kind of people that they are. They helped me in so many ways. Even today, through social media, there they are, giving their heart. He told me that he loved me for the first time late one night, and for the first time, I didn't question him. It wasn't like my middle school times where I couldn't accept the notion of being loved by someone. I knew that he did. I felt it. And I loved him right back. It was like a light bulb had been switched in my brain. I started to think, oh, this is what they're talking about. This is what people write songs about. I started to see the possibility of it all. I could see a different future for myself while I was with him that I had never seen before. You know, I could do this. I could love him forever. I could tell him about my day every day for the rest of my life. I could walk down an aisle if he was standing there waiting for me. I could hold his hand when he's sad. I could sit at a table and work shit out with him. I could share holidays with him and I ride in a car with him. I could grow with him. I wanted to grow with him. He was my best friend. But then one day, he just left. No explanation. He was just gone. Losing him was unbearable. Honestly, it was a long and dark and rigid spiral afterwards. My abandonment issues had been triggered. I didn't understand. I didn't have closure. I felt like it was the end of the world because there was nothing in the entire universe that would make me stop loving him. And he was still around. We were still in class together. We went to prom in the same group of friends. The hardest thing for me was to just watch him from afar, not knowing how he was feeling, not knowing if he was okay at any point in the day. I just had to not know. In those moments, were awful. Those shitty moments that you wish you could just fast forward through, you know? I think it's okay to still love him. I'm so tired of this culture we have now where once you've broken up with someone, you're sworn enemies for life. How are you going to talk shit and throw dirt on someone who you used to love? You told this person everything. You chose them. You spent significant amounts of time together, and now you're suddenly against everything that they are? How does that make any sense? Of course, there are exceptions depending on the relationship, but considering everything went smoothly, why would you want to talk badly about someone you used to kiss and hug and sleep with? What kind of person does that make you look like? I have no shame in boldly stating that I love him. I will always love him, even if we aren't together, you know? Maybe that's just me and my opinion on things, but I will always wish the best life for him. I hope he accomplishes everything he's ever wanted to do with his life, because at one point, I chose him, and he chose me, and I had the privilege of getting to love him, even if for a small, microscopic second. What? All that love just disappears? I'm supposed to start hating him? Block him on social media? Tell my friends a lie about how horrible of a person he is? No. That mindset is so backwards. Watch your mouth when you're speaking about someone you used to praise. My life has drastically changed since. I realized that if we had stayed together this entire time, I wouldn't have what I have now. I know I would have settled. I would have married him, had 2.1 kids, and worked in some average job like being a bank teller. In this time without him, I've discovered myself more. I found my dreams and passions. I found what makes me feel alive. What makes me feel like I have to accomplish, or else I'm letting the 6-year-old inside of me down. Having him stay, I wouldn't have. I don't think so anyways, just because of how different of a person I was back then. I'm not sure I would have written all that I have, or been on Ellen, or met Dax, or even started listening to Armchair Expert, or anything like that, had we stayed together. And it sucks. It sucks to lose someone you love. It sucks to not have that last goodbye. It sucks to not be able to call him when good things happen, or when I'm having a bad day, because he's still the first person I want to talk to. It sucks. But I've decided that if given the choice between being with him, even though I love him with my entire being and chasing my dreams, he wouldn't be my choice anymore. It took this time to realize that, and that sucks too, yeah, but it gave me such a relief to come to that realization. I'm not that same girl anymore. I'd rather die before settling down and getting married at my age, at 21. I can't even fathom it. And I think that sometimes you can still love someone and know that you can't be with them. You just have to love them from afar. That was hard. We did it. We got through it. Good job, Taylor. Minimal tears. We're all good. Honestly, it'd be awesome to have him on here one day, you know, if he's listening. So, now that we got through that part of the story, it was extremely hard to get over Collins. There was a lot of mess at the end of our relationship too, which I'm not really okay with speaking about yet. I spiraled. I was depressed. I lost 30 pounds in 3 weeks. I started using again. That was all my shit, though. Not at all on him. People tend to do things after a breakup and, like, blame it on their ex. And I don't understand that logic. I was the one who chose to self-medicate with drugs and alcohol. Those were all my choices. And like I've said before, sometimes we make some really bad choices in life. I can forgive myself for it now because I've learned. I tried dating again after losing Collins, but it felt like a part of me was searching for him in my dates. I wanted his smile and his humor. I wanted the way that he rubbed his thumb on the top part of my hand when he held it. These guys didn't wear their hats backwards like he did, or eat Pop-Tarts the way that Collins did. I would know 5 minutes into the date that I didn't want them. None of these guys were going to be him. I couldn't get over that. After moving back to Texas, I started at a new delivery job. There was a guy there who will not even get a new name. This guy is the only thing I will call him. This guy. We started at that job in the same week, and it became pretty obvious that he and I had the hots for each other. He was completely different. Nothing like Collins or Tom or Jake. I thought for sure that he was who I needed. I needed a change. We dated a little, which really was just us going to Waffle House at 2 a.m. after closing, I started to fall back into familiar territory with this guy. Through the entirety of my dating life, I made it abundantly clear that I was never going to date a guy who reminded me of my dad. I was smart enough to recognize that if I did, I would end up with someone just like him. You do the math. It makes sense. This guy had anger issues. He smoked a lot. He drank too much. He drove a piece of shit car. He slept until 3 in the afternoon every day. He had a criminal past. He was everything I always told myself not to go after. But I did it anyways. This was in an extremely low time in my life, right after I graduated high school. I feel like I say that a lot. I'm always like, I was in a low place. Maybe it's all just been like a collective low 21 years of my life. Anyways, I was trying to get sober, but failing because I was self-medicating through pain I had no concept of how to manage. I think that subconsciously, maybe even consciously, I felt that hatred for myself again, and instead of choosing to be better, I chose to have this I don't give a fuck anymore attitude. Almost like part of me hoped he would be like my dad because I deserved it. I felt like I deserved it if someone abused me. And this time, because of that low place in my life, I didn't care how far it went. We would smoke a lot before going out at night so that the food would taste 10 times better because, you know, high food is the best food. This only went on for maybe 2 months because one night I decided to go over to his house instead. The vibe was different. I sat in his garage feeling very anxious as he rolled out the weed. I was just listening to my gut as it told me to get the fuck out of there. But I didn't. He passed me a bong. I took a hit and started coughing. I looked up at the ceiling and I don't remember anything after that. I woke up in a completely different place with no memory of anything that had happened. And I've smoked weed before. I've smoked a lot of weed before, and I've never not been able to recall a memory. I'm convinced that it was laced with something. I told my managers at work who thought I was exaggerating the story. I told my managers at work who thought I was exaggerating the story. This is a sign that I should have left back then, but alas, I did not. I think the real moral of this episode is that you should always trust your gut. My managers agreed to not schedule us together anymore, but since there was nothing to fire him over, he got to stay. But he started to become obsessive. He didn't stop. He started driving past my house every night at 2 a.m. He knocked on my bedroom window. I was planning on moving back to Colorado at the time, and he told me that I wasn't allowed to go. He said that I would never get rid of him, that wherever I went, he would follow me. There was nothing I could do to get rid of him or make him stop. Shit got real scary, real fast. One day, during a family dinner, he had taped a note to my front door, confessing his never-ending, never dying love for me. He would never be complete until he had me. I called the police, who told me that I waited too long to report anything, so they couldn't do much for any of it until he did something again. A little backwards, if you ask me. I blamed myself for all of this for a really long time, because I knew better for so many things, but chose to do wrong anyways. It was only through therapy and finding armchair expert that I could really get a new perspective on things and forgive myself. I was in a lot of pain. I was never given the tools to deal with that pain. I was scared and lost, and that's okay. It's okay to get a little lost sometimes. I forgive you for putting us through that. I love you anyways. Ruminating on how it shouldn't have happened or I should have done something differently only prolongs my mental torture. I'm only hurting myself by hanging on to what could have been. This guy quit, and for about 6 months, I was free of seeing or hearing from him. I came to work one day at the beginning of this year, and he was there, in uniform and all. He had been rehired without anyone saying anything to me, even though my managers knew. So I walked out. I didn't even walk out, really. I never went in. I lucked out a bit, though, because 2 days later, my Jeep broke down, so I wouldn't have been able to work anyways. I was unemployed for 3 months, but I wrote so much for the first time in years. I created so much. I indulged in movies and art I had never had the time to see before then. I ended up on Ellen not even a month later. I met Dax. I got a new car. Now I'm at this new store with fun and caring people. It's so weird how life happens, you know? As of now, I haven't dated anyone since, and I'm perfectly okay with that. Like I stated earlier, I've never been the girl who made it a priority to have a guy in my life. It also helps that I made it kind of a goal to not get involved with anyone while I was working on my first year of sobriety, just because I wanted to put that first for a change. Someone, Dax, made me realize that if I don't have sobriety, I don't have anything. I still have my spidey senses, but I'm not as afraid of men as I used to be. I'm much more open and allowing to talking with them now. The way I see it, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, I'll be okay. I know that I don't need a guy at my side to go and live this illustrious life I've always wanted, and I will always, in a way, feel like that 8-year-old girl who always had her heart set on never getting married. It'll be really funny if in like 10 years I go back and listen to this and I married. Everyone who told me to shut the fuck up will be so satisfied. I feel that there is nothing more artistic than to love people. Vincent van Gogh.